This message today isn't only for moms, but it is for all of us here. Because in this woman's life, we see an example for us of faith and perseverance and of God's wise goodness.
Proclaiming God's love and truth for you and your family. Wonder Lake Bible Church.
It's a story about Irma Bombeck, and she usually tells some very humorous stories, and there's an element of that here, but there's a little more serious element in this story, though, too, that I want to share with us. She writes, she says, "For the first 4 or 5 years after I had children, I considered motherhood a temporary condition, not a calling. It was a time of my life set aside for exhaustion and long hours. It would pass. Then one afternoon, with 3 kids in tow, I came out of a supermarket pushing a cart with 4 wheels that went in opposite directions." We've all had that, right? "When my toddler son got away from me, and just outside the door, he ran toward a machine holding bubblegum in a glass dome." See, that would have been me, the kid that was fascinated by the bubblegum machines. And off he goes. He says, "In a voice that shattered glass, he shouted, 'Gimme, gimme!' And I told him I would give him what he... I told him that I would give him something he didn't want if he didn't stop shouting and get in the car. And as I physically tried to pry his body from around the bubblegum machine, he pulled the entire thing over. Glass and balls of bubblegum went all over the parking lot, and we had now attracted a sizable crowd. I told him he would never see a cartoon as long as he lived, and if he didn't control his temper, he was going to be making license plates for the state. He tried to stifle his sobs as he looked around at the staring crowd. And then he did something that I was to remember for the rest of my life. In his helpless quest for comfort, he turned to the only one he trusted his emotions with, me. He threw his arms around my knees and held on for dear life. I had humiliated him, chastised him, and berated him, but I was still all he had. And that single incident defined my role. I was a major force in this child's life. Sometimes we forget how important stability is to a child. I've always told mine, the easiest part of being a mother is giving birth. The hardest part is showing up for it each day. Mother's Day is traditionally the day when children give something back to their mothers for all the spit they produce to wash dirty faces, all the old gum they've held in their hands, all the noses they wipe, and all the bloody knees they made well with a kiss. This is the day mothers are rewarded for washing all those sheets in the middle of the night, driving kids to school when they miss the bus, and enduring all the football games in the rain. It's Appreciation Day for making your children finish something they said they couldn't do, not believing them when they said, "I hate you," and sharing their good times and their bad times. Their cards probably won't reflect it, but what they're trying to say is, thank you for showing up. And so that's what we want to say today. We want to say thank you for showing up. Thank all of you for showing up, and thank you, moms, for showing up and being moms. Today we're going to, our message is going to come from the story of a mother named Hannah. And it is a powerful and a touching story that vividly illustrates such things as pain and longing, but also of faith and perseverance, also of sacrificial love, a mother's sacrificial love. But ultimately, though, it represents, it vividly illustrates God's wise goodness. God's wise goodness. But I want you to know this message today isn't only for moms, but it is for all of us here. It's for all of us here because in this woman's life we see an example for us of faith and perseverance and of God's wise goodness. So we're calling this message today Scenes, Scenes from the Life of Hannah in 1 Samuel chapters 1 and 2. And what we'll see is that her life vividly portrays the wise goodness of God toward those who persevere in faith, in prayer. I mean, looking at some scenes from her life, And I wonder, how many of you enjoy movies, films, watching those things? And there's certain classic scenes that you may remember. Remember, how many of us can forget the scene of King Kong on top of the Empire State Building, right? I'm talking 1933 with the lame stop-motion thing there. But there's that scene. And then, of course, there was the remake in 76, the Dino De Laurentiis remake. And by the way, am I the only one who cries when King Kong dies? I hope not. Or how about this one? Tell me if you know what film this is from. Louis, I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship. From Casablanca, right? Or how about this one? And you'll be glad to know I'm not going to sing it for you. The hills are alive with the sound of music. Or some of you, ladies, you might like this one too, but guys, I know you especially might enjoy this one. When Vito Corleone says, I made an offer that he what? That he couldn't refuse, right? Or how about Rocky standing on the tops of the steps of the Philadelphia Art Museum with his arms in air and we're hearing the strains of what? Gonna fly now. Uh-oh, I said I wasn't going to sing and I just did that, right? Or this one, Luke, I am your father. Now, some of you are going to say, that's not exactly what he said there, and I want you to know too much about Star Wars. I know those weren't the exact words, but that was the concept, right? Luke, I am your father. Well, today, we're going to consider some scenes from another story. Some scenes from the life of a woman named Hannah that will teach us much about faith and perseverance, about sacrificial love, and about the wise goodness of God. And look at these scenes, these individual scenes, and see a theme that emerges from each one of those scenes. First one is 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. If you have your Bibles, let's read along with me here. It says, there was a certain man from Ramathaim, a Zuphite from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephraimite. There's not going to be a quiz on that afterwards, I want you to know. That's right. He had two wives. There's a reason for that, but we'll get to that later. He had two wives. One was called Hannah, and the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. And year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. And whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her. And the Lord had closed her womb. And because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. And this went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Elkanah, her husband, would say to her, Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Here's this first scene from the life of Hannah. We're going to call this one painful weeping. Painful weeping. The text tells us there that this man, Elkanah, had two wives, Hannah and Peninnah, and most likely the situation was that Hannah was his wife, his first wife, but the Lord had closed her womb, that is, she could not have children. And in that society, children were everything. They were the heirs. And oftentimes, a woman's worth and value was so tied up in whether or not she had children. So most likely that Hannah was his first wife, and because she could not have children, he took a second wife in order to provide for an heir. So here was Hannah in that. She was greatly loved by her husband, but she could not have children. And again, in that society, for even it would go so far for a woman to be childless in that society was even considered by in the minds of some to be a curse, that it was a curse by God. And so here she was already dealing with the pain of that. Clearly, she wanted to be a mother, but she couldn't. And even though she was greatly loved by her husband, she couldn't be a mother. And to, if that wasn't enough, then what? She had a rival. Here's this other woman, this other wife who keeps provoking her. Here's the constant reminder of her pain and her grief in this. And then she's constantly being provoked by her. And not for weeks or months, but how long? Years. Year after year this has gone on. Have you ever had something painful or difficult that you're just struggling with? And it doesn't, it's not just a question of a month or two. But it continues on and on, year after year. This was her situation. And we know that her husband, Elkanah, he loved Hannah very much. And he tried to comfort her. But he just didn't understand, did he? And I know those words there, he's trying to comfort her, but really, can that comfort her? When he says, you know how much I love, isn't my love for you enough? Well, his love for her was a great thing, but it didn't touch this part in her soul that longed to be a mother. He didn't understand. Scene one, then, we see Hannah, painful, weeping. And this goes on year after year. Well, we know that Hannah was a woman of faith and devotion, though. And we're going to see that now. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 9 through 20, it says, once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple, and in bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow, saying, O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. And as she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, how long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine. Not so, my lord, Hannah replied. I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. And Eli answered, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. And she said, may your servant find favor in your eyes. And then she went away and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning, they arose and worshiped before the Lord and went back to their home at Ramah. Elkanah lay with Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. And she named him Samuel, saying, because I asked the Lord for him. We saw that painful weeping, and now it has come to a solemn vow, a solemn vow. Hannah was deeply troubled in spirit, and she poured out her heart to God, saying, Lord, that if you give me a son, I will give him back to you to serve you all the days of her life. And she said, no razor shall be upon his head. Now that sounds like an odd thing, doesn't it? What do you mean no razor? It means what? That his hair would be long, it would never be cut. And you might say, well, what does that mean? Well, that was part of an Old Testament tradition there called the Nazarite vow, which was, it was a symbol of someone who was specially set apart to God. So they would do things like a man then who had taken this vow or was dedicated to the Lord, he would not cut his hair, and that long hair was a sign that he was committed to God. Now, usually these were temporary vows, but sometimes there were some who were Nazarites for life, their entire life. They would never cut their hair, and it was a vow then for them. So here she says, Lord, and think about this, if you give me a son, I will what? I will give him right back to you for your service, that he will serve you all the days of his life. Hannah was a woman of deep faith and devotion. She's praying. In fact, she's praying so fervently that Eli, the priest, thinks that she is drunk. She's at the temple and she's drunk because her lips are moving and nothing's coming out. It's kind of a commentary on the times, actually, that the priest would think that someone is, oh, here's another drunkard at the temple. But Hannah explains her situation and Eli says, may the Lord grant you that which you were asking. And in the course of time, Hannah conceived and she gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel. Samuel means heard of God or heard by God, that the Lord has heard me. And he has answered this prayer just as I had asked. Again, there is no such thing as unanswered prayer, is there? God does answer every prayer. But when it says here that the Lord answered, saying what he answered her, and did what she asked, gave her a son. Scene 3, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 21 says, and when the man Elkanah went up with all his family to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord and to fulfill his vow, Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, after the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always. Do what seems best to you, Elkanah, her husband told her. Stay here until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord make good his word. And so the woman stayed at home and nursed her son until she had weaned him. And after he was weaned, she took the boy with her, young as he was, along with a 3-year-old bull, an ephah of flour and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. And when they had slaughtered the bull, they brought the boy to Eli, and she said to him, as surely as you live, my lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. And so now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. Calling this scene sacrificial dedication. After Samuel was weaned, the time came for him to be taken to the temple for service to the Lord. Now God had answered that prayer. He had given her the son she had asked for. But remember, her vow said what? If you give me this son, then what will I do? I will give him back to you for service. And you know what that means? That means he wasn't going to live with her. He was going to be away from her. He was going to be living in the temple, serving there. She would only see him once a year when she made that trip there. You think that was a sacrifice for her to do that? All that longing, and finally the prayer is answered, and now she has this child, and she's weaned him, and now she has to just to give him up. Now she's going to see him, but not the same thing as raising him in her own home, is it? It was a sacrifice. It was a wonderful answer to prayer, but there was sacrifice there, wasn't there? To do that, to now give up. You've been longing this all along, and God finally gives you this, and now you have to give it right back. That's sacrificial love, and that's sacrificial dedication. And we see Hannah and her spiritual maturity in this. It says she prayed, then Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord my horn or my strength is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. Do not keep talking so proudly or let your mouth speak such arrogance. For the Lord is a God who knows, and by him deeds are weighed. The bows of the warriors are broken, but those who stumbled are armed with strength. Those who were full hire themselves out for food, but those who were hungry hunger no more. She who was barren has borne 7 children, but she who has had many sons pines away. The Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and raises up. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and he exalts. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes and has them inherit a throne of honor. For the foundations of the earth are the Lord's. Upon them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked will be silenced in darkness. It is not by strength that one prevails. Those who oppose the Lord will be shattered. He will thunder against them from heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. And then Elkanah went home to Ramah, but the boy ministered before the Lord under Eli, the priest. We've seen this weeping. We've seen this vow. Now we've seen this sacrificial love and giving this child back to the Lord for his service. And now we see this prayer, a prayer of mature faith. You think you have to be pretty spiritually mature to write what she said there, to say those things, and to mean them from your heart? So Hannah demonstrates her godly, mature character in the words of that prayer there. That God is what? He is the sovereign God, that he is in control, that he is good. And what? That those who entrust themselves to him, what? There is great joy and strength found in those who entrust themselves to God. That's spiritual maturity. That's faith. That's devotion there. But this story doesn't end there. There's one more scene for us to consider. How many of you like a happy ending to a story? You know what? It's already had a happy ending. If it ended there, but it's an even happier ending. It says, but Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy wearing a linen ephod. And each year, his mother made him a little robe and took it to him when she went up with her husband to offer the annual sacrifice. Now, this is the point. Everybody say, aw, right? Aw, she made the little robe and took it to him each year. And Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife, saying, may the Lord give you children by this woman to take the place of the one she prayed for and gave to the Lord. And then they would go home. And the Lord was gracious to Hannah. She conceived and gave birth to 3 sons and 2 daughters. And meanwhile, the boy Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord. Now Eli, who was very old, I guess we should explain, Eli had these sons who were supposed to be, Eli was the spiritual leader of the nation at that time, as the priest of the nation. And he had these sons who were serving him, and these sons were a disaster. Eli was not father of the year material. He didn't confront them and correct them. And they were doing some horrible things. It says, now Eli, who was very old, heard about everything his sons were doing to all Israel and how they slept with the women who served at the entrance to the tent of meeting. And so he said to them, why do you do such things? I hear from all the people about these wicked deeds of yours. No, my sons, it is not a good report that I hear spreading among the Lord's people. If a man sins against another man, God may mediate for him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him? His sons, however, did not listen to their father's rebuke, for it was the Lord's will to put them to death. The God had had enough of these two and how they were defaming his name and what they were doing in the temple. But what? Verse 26, 8, I can't read that. What does it say? 6, okay. And the boy Samuel continued to grow in stature and in favor with the Lord and with men. As seen here is more gracious blessing. Eli's sons were a disgrace. There was not real effective spiritual leadership in the nation. God had blessed Hannah with Samuel, but then he gave her more. She gave birth to three more sons and two daughters, but what? Meanwhile, it says what? Meanwhile, though, Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord. Anyway, here was one who was specially dedicated to the Lord. What is the significance of that? You see, it has to do with God's wise, providential goodness. God blessed Samuel, or God blessed Hannah, wouldn't you say? I would say so. But also through her prayer, he blessed an entire nation through Samuel and the spiritual leadership that he would bring to a nation that desperately needed it. So God blessed her, but he blessed an entire nation too. So what do we see through this? Well, that God's answer to faith and prayer is not always immediate, is it? We may pray in faith and devotion and believing, asking God, and he answers every prayer, not always how we would like. But sometimes his answer is not always immediate to us. We don't see it right away all the time, do we? How long did Hannah undergo this painful weeping and longing? Years, right? Year after year this happened. Now we know how the story ends, right? But what was Hannah thinking, do you think, when she was weeping year after year and she's being provoked and ridiculed? You think maybe she had days where she wondered, God, where are you? I think she did. She was human, right? She probably did. But did she give up? No. So God's answer to faith and prayer is not always immediate. We learn that in scene one. Scene two teaches us something then too, that God's answer to faith and prayer may require sacrifice on our part. God answered that prayer. He gave her a son, but you think that was hard for her to give Samuel back over to the Lord? I'm sure she delighted in the idea of him serving the Lord, but it meant he was going to be apart from her. So sometimes God's answer may require some sacrifice on our part. You've been praying for something a long time and God may give that to you, but you know what? It may cost you something, though. It may cost you. Also then, too, that God's answer to faith and prayer builds greater faith and maturity. Hannah's a wonderful example of that. Do you think the woman who wrote that prayer that we read, do you think she was born thinking that way with those attitudes? Do you think that she automated, that it just arrived by osmosis one day? Now, this was the result of what? Of years of fervent devotion. And as God answered that, I think it built greater faith in her in spiritual maturity. And I think from that last scene, we learn first that God's answer to faith and prayer may unfold over time. When Samuel was born, was that the end of God's answer to what she had prayed? She had no idea that God was going to do far more than she had imagined. God gave her the son, Samuel. She fulfilled her vow. But then what? In time, over the course of time, God gave her more children and God blessed an entire nation through Samuel and his spiritual leadership. And that's where we see that God's answer to faith and prayer is always wise and good. You know, that if we are fervently seeking God, His answer will always be good. It will always be wise. So you may think, well, wait a minute, so you mean if I just pray long enough, God is going to give me what I want? I didn't say that. I said that we will see in time, and if not this side of heaven, in heaven, right, we will see that God's answer is good and wise. Do you believe that? God's answer is always wise and good. So as we consider these scenes from the life of Hannah, I wonder, are you persevering in faith and prayer? She didn't give up, did she? But in time, God answered that, and it unfolded over time. It required sacrifice. It built greater maturity and faith in her. And she saw how His answer was always wise and good, and not only blessing her, but blessing an entire nation then. Are you persevering then in faith and prayer, believing that God, His answers will always be wise and good? And I wonder, do you need prayer now? Do you need prayer now? I thought we would conclude the message here then today by praying for people here, and I'm thinking especially of our ladies here on this Mother's Day. Ladies, is there someone here that needs prayer? Well, I think every hand should go up on that, right? But maybe there's someone here who needs prayer, and we want to pray for you today. Is there someone that needs prayer here today? Barb, we see you, Barb. Okay, we know that you need prayer. Right? Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you are a God whose answers are always wise and good. And Lord, we don't always see that. We don't see it at the time. And I pray, Lord, we pray for Barb, for your good and wise providential care and answer to Barb's situation. God, we know that she has in a great deal of pain now physically. We know that it's frustrating for her. We know, Lord, that there are other concerns that she has too. And God, we pray that you would answer this with your goodness, with your wise providential care and goodness. We do ask, Lord, if you will, that you would ease this pain. Help her to give her grace, Lord, to cope with it. And God, we pray that as this procedure that she's due to have soon, Lord, coming up, Lord, that we pray that she would be able to have that soon and that it would bring great help and relief to her. But most importantly, God, we pray that through it all that you would build greater character, the character of Jesus into her. And that, Lord, through everything that's happened to her, you would bless others. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Is there someone else here who needs prayer this morning? Let's pray for Mary. Lord, we do pray for our sister Mary. Lord, we thank you for her. Lord, I thank you for just the wonderful encouragement that she has been to me, and I know so many here. That wonderful smile on her face. that enthusiastic hello that she always gives. God, I know that she loves you. I know that she is devoted to you. But God, I know that she desperately needs your grace in her life right now. God, would you give her strength? Would you build her character to always and fully rely upon you, that whatever may come, we know, Lord, that you are good. Bless her, Lord. We pray for your blessing upon her, your provision for her and for her family, that she would be encouraged today. That whatever life may present, we know that you are the sovereign God who's in charge of it all. And may the reality of that truth, Lord, encourage her today. Bless her and her husband, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe one more. Is there one more, someone who needs prayer today? Sherry? Okay. Let's pray for Sherry. Lord, thank you for Sherry. And she's another one, Lord, that I look at and I'm so thankful for her love and her friendship, her encouragement. Not just to me, but I know to many others, and I see the friendship she has with other women in the church here. And God, I pray for your encouragement for her today. She needs your grace daily, Lord. I pray for her family, for her home, Lord. I pray that the reality and the truth of Jesus Christ would be so powerful and real that the hearts and minds and lives of everyone in that home would be changed for eternity. I know, Lord, that she carries burdens. And Lord, I know what those burdens are, and we give them to you now. And we ask, Lord, for strength for her to endure, to carry those. We ask that you, Lord, would do a mighty work of salvation in the hearts and lives and minds of those who are near and dear to her. And that you would give her your peace today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, again, we do want to our moms here today say thank you. Thanks for showing up. We love you, and we appreciate you, and we wish you a very happy Mother's Day. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you again for the life of this woman, Hannah. I pray that all of us will be encouraged from that, challenged. Lord, maybe there's something that we're that is a source of great pain to us right now. God, may we be faithful as Hannah was in pouring out our hearts to you and trusting you, even if it's year after year. We pour out our hearts to you now, Lord. We ask for your blessing. We ask, Lord, that your wise, providential goodness, that your will would be accomplished, Lord, in our lives. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.